The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
All right, always a pleasure to welcome Terry Sheridan, Managing Editor of WSHU Public Radio. Of course, big news yesterday: by 6-3, the Supreme Court made an important ruling in relation to presidential immunity. Good morning, Terry, or good evening, and tell me, what was the content of this decision?
Well, this is basically, Ivan, about presidential immunity. And the Supreme Court, along ideological lines, 6-3, as you said, ruled that presidents, former presidents, have absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for anything that they do as an official act as president. And then also, they have immunity, but in investigating or prosecuting unofficial acts, they can't refer to official acts as evidence to build up their case. So it basically says that President Trump, which is the realistic case here, has a lot of immunity as he goes into a series of cases to determine whether he tried to overrule the 2020 election.
I thought there was something that they referred back to a lower court to determine whether something was official or unofficial.
Well, that's what's going to happen. It could happen before the election. It could happen after, if it gets that far, is that they stated this ruling, but then they returned the case to the lower court, and each of the charges against President Trump is going to have to be appealed and decided upon whether this was an official act, this was an unofficial act. So, for instance, a good example would be was he acting as president when he did certain things on January 6th, or was he acting as a candidate? Now, President Trump has already said he's going to appeal his New York conviction because what he was convicted of happened while he was president. He says that was a presidential act in paying money to Stormy Daniels and not an unofficial act as a candidate.
So, in layman's language, what does this mean for the litigation, the criminal proceedings in relation to January 6th?
It probably means that nothing in a court of law or no trial will happen before the election in November. If that happens and if Trump is elected president, most likely he will dismiss or have his attorney general dismiss the cases. But what could happen is because these various charges have to be, I'm going to use the word litigate, have to be litigated in court to determine whether they were unofficial or official acts. That possibly could happen before the election. So the prosecution could basically put on a trial that isn't a trial, if that makes sense, because all these charges, all the evidence will be presented on what happened.
Okay. So what you're saying is that Trump won't be inside a courtroom except for the sentencing in the New York case. Is that July the 11th? What can we expect?
Yeah, that's July the 11th. That's the next time he'll be in court. He could be in court if he does appeal or asks for an expedited appeal because of yesterday's ruling, which he said he would. But quite possibly July 11th will be the last time he's in court in 2024.
And what are you expecting to happen on the 11th of July?
I don't think he's going to go to jail. I think he is going to get a hefty fine. I think he'll have some conditions on his freedom put on him. In other words, you can only travel within the confines of the United States, et cetera, for a certain period of time. But I would be surprised if he is actually sentenced to jail time.
Now, I have to talk to you about the TV debate last week. A lot of people, particularly younger people, aren't tuned into politics a lot, be it here or abroad. I found the reaction of younger people who, as I say, would be almost agnostic about politics and American politics, were simply shocked that someone who looked to be very aged, very frail, was in a situation that Biden was in, where he lost his train of thought. It seemed, and I'm not a clinician, like early size as stages dementia. My point is this, like a lot of people summing up it, one, One should be going to a nursing home and one should be going to prison, and neither are should be going to the White House. I mean, that was just a general kind of person in the street reaction. How have ordinary Americans reacted to it?
That's pretty much the same, and it doesn't matter if you're young or old. I mean, there was a meme going around last week of a woman and says, "I can't talk right now. I'm watching the season finale of the United States of America." Last Thursday's debate was upsetting to a lot of people, except for extreme partisans, because Biden's performance was abysmal, you know, and embarrassing and worrying. And Trump's performance was one lie spewed after another. Now, Joe Biden has dug in his heels. His campaign has dug in his heels, and they're trying to get people to move on. He's trying to do events. He did one last Friday to show that he is, quote unquote, still with it. But it is still a major concern for a lot of Americans and a lot of his supporters. Right now, Joe Biden is relying on people who don't think he can do the job for the next 4 years to vote him in, which is not a good situation to be in.
So the National Democratic Coalition, who are responsible for the lack of a succession plan, what is going through their mind? I mean, there's a lot at stake here. I mean, so one Democrat top aide saying, you know, if I had to vote for a corpse or Trump, I'd vote for a corpse. You might just have to. So, I mean, what is the situation in terms of people, donors and so on, who say, look, we could be on the losing side here simply because of his age and frailty? I mean, is somebody going to do anything about this?
Well, I think it would have to be people who would go to Joe Biden. Joe Biden right now is in charge of the proceedings. He's won enough delegates through the primaries that he has sewn up the nomination. So on a first ballot at the convention, he would win. So it would be up to Joe Biden to say, I am stepping aside. Now, what the National Party does, I am sure there are mechanics going on behind the scenes to put pressure on Joe Biden to do just that, to step aside, and to step aside as soon as earlier rather than later, before the nominating convention. Because once he's nominated in August, it's now a whole legal proceeding about whether he could be replaced on the ticket. There might be a moment like there was in 1974 with Richard Nixon, where leaders of the Republican Party went to the White House and said, President Nixon, you need to resign. We can't support you anymore. It might take something like that, some sort of intervention to Joe Biden to drop out now with dignity. This is the best you can do if you believe in America. And let's see what we get before we have our convention in August.
And on that, like, he's had a hugely successful lifetime in politics, in Capitol Hill, as vice president, as president. Like, there is nothing dishonorable with you know, failing health. I mean, surely the key to this is Jill Biden, you know, and what type of person do you think she is that, like, is she the one saying to him, Joe, you're not backing down here or not?
That I don't know. You are correct. She has been a strong person. She is his most trusted unofficial advisor. I think that she is going to, as you said, she's ultimately going to be the one that's like, Joe, for the best betterment of the country and yourself, it's time to step down. I mean, the one thing that we do know about Joe Biden, and I'm going to say stubborn, and I'm going to use that in a that's probably not the word I'm thinking of. I'm using that in a good way, that he is the determined. Once he does something, he's determined to finish it out. That's always been one of his trademarks. Even when things have gone bad, he's stuck with it. I think someone, whether it's Jill Biden, whether it's the leaders of the Democratic Party, whether it's his grandchildren, the rest of the family, to say it's time to step aside now. You've done your job. You did what you said you were going to do. Now it's time to step aside and let someone younger take over.
Finally, Terry, the name that people put out there in the hypothetical situation that he does step down, is there any credibility in Michelle Obama being the candidate?
Not that I can see. I think that, that's actually been something that has been put out by conservatives and the Republican Party to scare, or what they think is to scare Americans. But I don't see any I don't see any truth behind that.
All right. So in other words, you think it'll be the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, or someone like that?
Or the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. I think those are the two would be the two leading candidates.
Okay. And maybe a double dream ticket with president and vice president. You're not mentioning the name of Kamala Harris.
I am not. She is not as popular in the party and definitely with the American population as you might expect. So I would be surprised if Joe Biden stepped down. I would be surprised if she was the one who took over.
Fascinating insights and analysis there, as well as a news update from Terry Sheridan, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio, coming to us from New York. Time for this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.